All right, take your Bibles and turn to the book of the Revelation, chapter number 21. So good to be at the Ronda Baptist Tabernacle. Thank you, preacher, for having us this evening. And thank you for making your way out to the house of the Lord. It's good to see these that are visiting with us. Thank you, men of God, for coming and being with us also. The book of the Revelation, chapter number 21. I've wrestled on what the Lord would have me to do, and I believe this is what that we need to do this evening. In your hearing, I'll read verses 1, 2, and 3 in their entirety, and then we'll read the first part of verse number 4, and we'll just preach till the Lord says stop. What about that? That'd be all right?
Amen.
Revelation chapter 21. When you find your place, would you stand with me all over the house to reverence the reading of God's holy word? Revelation chapter 21. I appreciate my wife Melissa, my two boys Brody and Elijah being with us this evening. And we desire your prayers to be a help to you and just to tell you what thus saith the word of God. Paul told Timothy, preach the word. Period. That's all we need. Revelation 21, beginning at verse 1. If you found your place, say amen.
Amen.
And I saw, John speaking, a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Feel led to finish the verse. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. Listen, for the former things are passed away. You may be seated. Thank you for standing to reverence the reading of God's holy word. Some of you may have heard me preach before, but I'll just tell you this, kind of give you an update. I kind of go the way Isaiah spoke of it in Isaiah 28 and verse number 10. That precept must be upon precept, and line must be upon line. I truly believe that one of the greatest dangers that we can do in the pulpit, men of God, it's to take text out of context. You've got to leave text in the context. So I find it very important to give you an overview very quickly of the book of Revelation and then get right into these verses and follow the Holy Spirit of God. I will say this, there is much speculation among the Christian people this day and time on what heaven will be like. Tonight, I do not go by speculation. I'm going to stay right with what the Bible has said. We'll stay line upon line and precept upon precept. Listen to me, friend. You ain't going to be disappointed when we get there, all right? And we don't need to add our opinions or what we think it's going to be. Let the Word of God speak for itself. Now in the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verse 19. John the Revelator said, He that laid His right hand upon me. He that said, I am He that liveth. And behold, I was dead, and I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys of death and of hell. He said unto me, write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. That is a complete overview. That is Revelation 1, verse 19. That is a complete overview of the entire book of the Revelation. In Revelation chapter number 1, that is what John had seen. He talked about our Lord. Revelation chapter 1 is a beautiful picture of who our Lord is. And by the way, the last book of your Bible is not the Revelation of John. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ. And then the Bible said, He said, John write the things which are. Now I truly believe, preacher Ponder, that that is Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3. I believe that represents the church age, which began at Pentecost. cross. And the Bible says there in Revelation 2 and 3 that you begin with the church of Ephesus and you go through the church of Laodicea. I remind you that the first time church occurs in your Bible is in Matthew 16, I believe verse 18, when the Bible said, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." That word church in the Greek language is the Greek word ekklesia, and it means literally a group that has been called out, a group that has been called by name. I ain't in a clique tonight. I ain't in an organization tonight. I'm in an organism baptized into the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit of God. That happened the moment that I believed on the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We are a called out body. Preacher, what do you think that means? I believe that means you can't get saved till you get lost. And I'm glad I got lost. Amen. I'm glad I see myself a sinner. I'm glad I called out in conviction. Without conviction, there is no conversion. Because no man can come to me, Jesus said, except my Father which has sent me draw him. And I will raise him up at the last day. Oh, but Jesus gave a wonderful promise in the book of John, chapter 12, around verses 30 and 31. He said, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." I believe Jesus died for whosoever. I believe God so loved the world. I believe God would have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Bless God, I ain't about this one that God is predestined for heaven, but this one that God's predestined for hell. Friend, it's whosoever will. Let him come and take it while they're alive. Write the things which thou hast seen, all right, Lord. Write the things which are, John. Okay, Lord. And he wrote about the church age. I believe that you and I are dwelling in the last part of Revelation chapter 3 right now. It's a sad day. That Laodicean age preacher, people wrapped up in materialism, and they know not that they're wretched and they're miserable. And they're blind. Friend, I don't care what side of the tracks you're born on. You and I are living better right now than any of us have ever lived in our entire life. But bless God, in prosperity, we forgot God. We forgot where the blessings come from. Can I remind you that every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. If something good happened to you today, it wasn't because of you, it was in spite of you. It didn't happen to me today because of me. It happened to me in spite of me. God loved us and He's graced us, and it's nothing we merited, and it still amazes me why God would love somebody like me. I believe we're dwelling there in the end of Revelation 3. I believe we're right in the middle of the book of Jude. Oh, I believe we're right in the middle of the book of Jude. Oh, in Revelation chapter 4, something's going to happen. Revelation chapter 4, something's going to happen. From Revelation chapter 4 through the end of the book, write the things, John, which shall be. I want to say hallelujah on that word shall. Write the things which shall be hereafter. Let me tell you some hereafter things. Here's what's imminent. Here's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for the blessed hope, Titus. I'm looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. The Bible says that they that look for Him, Hebrews 9, last verse, Hebrews 9, and they that look for Him, shall He appear without sin unto salvation. And they that look for Him, shall He appear. I'm looking for Him. Looking for the blessed hope. Revelation chapter 4 verse 1. A door was open in heaven. I heard as it were a trumpet talking with me. And it said, "Come up hither." And the Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 that we will not prevent them that are asleep. 1 Corinthians 15 around verses 51 and following. Says that it's going to happen in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. He that shall come will come and will not tarry. Hallelujah. Amen. So from Revelation chapter 4 through the end of the book, the things which shall be hereafter. With us dwelling right now on the end. Y'all still all right? As we're in the end of Revelation chapter 3, I believe you'll agree with me, we are in the ecclesia. We are in the ecclesiastical dispensation. Dispensation, a period of time. Time is divided into three ages, but more than that with dispensations. We are currently, since Jesus died on the cross and rose again, we moved out of the legal dispensation and we are in the age of grace. Oh, hallelujah. The ecclesiastical dispensation, the church age, if you will. For that very word church is the Greek word ekklesia, the ecclesiastical dispensation. But it will end at the coming of our Lord for the church. I believe this with all my heart. I believe that the Lord's coming to rapture us out because judgment is coming to this world. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. Not long ago, I took my church and we walked through every verse of 2 Peter. Every verse. And in that chapter number 3 of 2 Peter, it talks about that cataclysmic happening of the flood and how it covered all the land. It covered the tops of the mountains. But God gave a promise and said, next time I won't destroy it. I won't destroy it with water, but I'll destroy it with fire. Now listen to me. That's not going to happen at the rapture of the church. But let me say this about the rapture of the church from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 10 and 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 9. The wrath that is coming, the bride of Christ, we are right now, 2 Corinthians 11 2. The church is an espoused virgin. We are espoused to be married to Christ. Amen. I'm engaged. What about you? Amen. I'm headed to a wedding. What about you? Amen. Headed to the marriage supper of the Lamb. The Bible says He's not reserved His espoused virgin for wrath, but to obtain salvation. He's coming to get us, bless God. Going to meet Him in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. From Revelations, I ain't got time to cover it all, preacher. From Revelations chapter 6. Revelation chapter 5. Let me back up. Revelation chapter 5. We watch Him hold the title deed. Who, preacher? The line of the tribe of Judah. We watch Him hold the title deed to the earth. He'll open the seven seal book because it all belongs to Him anyhow. He created it. He's the one that put it under a curse. And creation knows that. Listen to me. Creation is not an evolutionist. Amen. Creation knows why she's here. Creation knows it wasn't bang and it happened. Creation knows that it was something like this. Let there be, and there was. Amen. Revelation chapter 6. Boy, I'm having a good time. Revelation chapter number 6. Y'all still... I'm a preaching in the Bible. Amen. Revelation chapter 6 through Revelation chapter 18. We see days that Jeremiah called in Jeremiah 30 the time of Jacob's trouble. What's the time of Jacob's trouble, preacher? It is the time of Israel's judgment. It is the judgment for the Jews. Oh, but those Gentiles that are left behind and if not received the good grace of God will be left and go through those terrible days. The Lord said for the last 3.5 years of that 7-year period, He said there's never been days before this, and neither shall there be days like this after, when men will seek for death and death will flee from them. Bless God. God will put death on the run and said, death, don't you get nowhere around. And the judgment of God is surely coming. And as they mock the wrath of God in the days of Noah, so they mock it today. And the Bible tells us that 7-year period will close at the end of Revelation 19 when the Bible said the heavens open. And on Him, on one that sits on a white horse, His name is called the Word of God. On His vest, on His thighs written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. His vesture is dipped in blood. Zechariah says He's coming back because it's the winepress of the wrath of Almighty God. The Old Testament prophet said that it'll run to the horses' bridles, the bloodwood. He'll come to the valley of Megiddo, and out of His mouth will go a sharp two-edged sword, and He'll slay all the nations that have come against the land of Israel. Y'all still with me? Is that in your Bible? Amen. That's in my Bible. Amen. Where are you going to be, preacher? Riding with Him. Riding with Him. What's going to happen after that, preacher? Well, that'd put us in Revelation 20, wouldn't it? Revelations 20. I love my Bible. Amen. Revelations 20. What's Revelations 20, preacher? 1,000-year reign of Christ on this earth. Oh, that earth, she's under a curse right now. I love Romans 8, verses 19 through 22. Can't quote it to you, but I can point you to it. And you know what it says? Oh, creation's a-groaning right now. As I walked out on the porch of Pleasant Hill Baptist Church this morning, and I heard the Toll River lapping as she went down the river, I believe she's saying, come on, Jesus. It got so warm. It got so warm up there in the mountains the other day. I went out and I heard the birds are singing. I have to believe, preacher, that creation knows she's under a curse. Romans chapter 8, verses 19 through 22 says that she's waiting. Let me tell you what she's waiting on. She's waiting for the manifestation. I like that word. She's waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. She's waiting for us to be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. She's waiting for that curse. She knows why she's under a curse. She remembers when Eve was told, Eve, because you've been deceived, you'll have to bear childbearing. Adam, because you've disobeyed. That's right, I said Eve was deceived, but Adam disobeyed. Read your Bible, friend. And the Bible says, Adam, because you disobeyed, by the sweat of your brow, you earned your living. And then he looked at the earth, and he cursed it for man's sake. And now it's bringing forth briars and thorns and thistles. Thank God he took that curse. He took those crowns. He wore them to Calvary. Galatians 3:13 says that he became a curse for us, because it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Oh, but that earth is awaiting on redemption. Oh, when is that going to happen, preacher? Revelation 20. Curse is going to be lifted. And it's going to be as the Garden of Eden was. And we're going to reign with Him for 1,000 glorious years. I'm looking forward to that, don't you? And the Bible says in Matthew 19:28, and the Bible says in Matthew 25:31, that He'll see it on the throne of His glory. And the Bible says, what a day that'll be when He sits upon. Now I got to hurry. I ain't got time to preach that. I got to preach this. Revelation 20. I'm to Revelation 21. Now wait a minute. I got to tell you something before I get to Revelation 21. After 1,000-year reign of Christ, Satan's bound. Angel comes down with a great chain in his hand, binds the devil, old Satan, that old dragon, Lucifer, binds him for 1,000 years, shuts him up. The 1,000-year reign of Christ ends with him being loosed, and he makes forth his final revolt. And the Bible says in 2 Peter 3, and the Bible also says in Revelation 20, in the last part of Revelation 20, heaven passes away. Amen. Are you listening to me? Earth passes away. Why is heaven passing away, preacher? Why is earth passing away? Because heaven and earth right now is tainted with sin. Now, preacher, I know earth is tainted with sin. But don't you tell me heaven. Oh, friend, Ezekiel 28. Lucifer was the anointed cherub that covereth. He was the guardian and the protector of the throne of God. And God said to him in Ezekiel 28 and again in Isaiah chapter number 14, He said, thou wast perfect till iniquity was found in thee. Rose up, tried to make himself as God, and he's been the great imitator ever since.
That's right, brother. Preach on.
Heaven passes away.
Yes.
Earth passes away. And the wicked dead, I don't believe in no general resurrection. I believe that when we go at the rapture, I believe I'm going as a believer to the judgment seat of Christ. Yes. Romans 14:10, 2 Corinthians 5:10. And I believe when heaven and earth passes away, the wicked dead's going to be resurrected. Yes. That's after the 1,000-year reign, to come before God, and they're going to be cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. And they didn't have to go there, preacher, because Hebrews 2:9 says, Hebrews 2:9 says, by the grace of God, Jesus tasted death for every man. Y'all still with me? You looking big eyed at me. I'm from North Carolina. Heaven passes away. Earth passes. Got to give you a verse. Write this in the margin. Your Bible says Isaiah 65:17. Isaiah 65:17. Behold, I create. God's talking. Behold, I create a new heaven and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. And then we step right into Revelation 21, verse 1. I told you that we're currently in the ecclesiastical dispensation. The dispensation after this, with the 7 years of tribulation on this earth, we'll be in heaven. The church will be in heaven. But it'll be a dispensation of judgment on this earth. We're going to be in heaven. We're going to be at the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to be with the Lord. After the dispensation of judgment, you'll have the messianic dispensation. Some call it the millennial dispensation, the 1,000-year reign of Christ. Preacher, where are we now? I'm going to tell you. We're in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 10. Write that one down. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 10. Now in Ephesians chapter 1, I love my Bible. Can I say that again? In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 9, it's called the mystery of His will. Brother Ponder, it's called the mystery. And then in Ephesians chapter 1, at verse number 10, this dispensation. Now all dispensations have ended with sin. Preacher, they've all ended with a revolt of sin. But this is a lasting, and she ain't going to end. Amen. Some call it the ages of the ages. Some call the perfect age. I think about them old saints of God singing, and while the ages roll, I'll keep on praising Him. Friend, we are now stepping in to the new heaven and the new earth. And it's happened in an instant. And I'll get to that maybe later. But Isaiah 65:17, God has said, behold, I create new heavens and a new earth. Paul the Apostle in Ephesians 1:10 calls it the dispensation of the fullness of time. That's what he calls it. Let me read you that verse. I've got it marked in my notes here. Let me read it to you. Ephesians 1:10. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him. Paul the Apostle wrote of this again. Y'all still with me tonight?
Yes.
Paul wrote of this again in 1 Corinthians 15:28. In 1 Corinthians 15:28, listen what Paul said. And when all things shall be subdued unto Him, that means put in subjection, then shall the Son also Himself be subject unto Him that put all things under Him, that God may be all in all. Amen. I've heard my brother 1,000 times from Irwin, Tennessee, sing, He's my all in all. But one of these days in the dispensation of the fullness of times, God's going to be all and in all. Amen. You talk about a happy time. Friend, we ain't even scratching the surface tonight of what that time is going to be. Now I'm going to try to preach these verses. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Glory be to His name. I'm glad it's as real as the skin on my bones. I'm glad it's as real as the room I stand in right now. I'm glad it's as real as the air I breathe. John said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. I got to hurry, but you see that phrase, I saw again in verse 2, don't you? Look at it with me. Keep your Bible open now. We might learn something tonight. Amen. Didn't He say, I saw a holy city? I saw in verse 1. I got to hurry. I got a lot to cover. I saw in verse 1. I saw in verse 2. It is the Greek word eido. It's spelled E-I-D-O. Now get this. What time are we talking about? The dispensation of the fullness of times. Listen to me, friend. We're in eternity right there. I want to tell you something. We a lot of times look at eternity as an extension of time. Listen to me. Eternity is not an extension of time. Eternity is apart from time. It's above time. Listen to me. Let me say it like this to you. Do you remember what 2 Peter 3:8 says. The Bible says, beloved, be not ignorant. That a day is with the Lord as 1,000 years. And 1,000 years as a day. That verse has been so misinterpreted in our time today. Listen closely. That tells you that God dwells in the eternal present all the time.
Right.
God and time are both mentioned in that verse. But God is not measured by time. Brother Josh, you're measured by time.
Yes,
I mean, I ask you how you feel, and sometimes you might tell me how old you are.
You're right.
Your pastor has asked you before, well, so-and-so, how you feeling? And you say, well, preacher, I'm such and such age. You know, by the time you get to that age, you're just glad to be alive. Somebody help me. We measure ourselves by time. Is that right?
Yeah.
Because our flesh is mortal. Are you listening to me? Our flesh is going back to the dust of the earth. But you hear me. Listen to me. Now let me say this and don't lose me right here. My flesh is mortal, but my soul is immortal. My soul is going to live forever. Look up here at me, friend. Whether you're lost or whether you're saved, 1,000 years from tonight, you're going to be living either in heaven or in hell. Your flesh is mortal. Your flesh is going back to the dust from which God brought it. But thank God, the Bible tells us that God breathed into our nostrils a breath of life and man became a living soul. But listen to me, God's not mortal and God's not immortal. God's eternal. Do you know this verse, preacher? Psalms 46:1. That the Lord, our God, is a very present help. In the time of trouble. You ever ask this question? Where are you, Lord?
Come on.
Reckon you heard something like this and you just chose not to hear it. Present!
Yeah, man. Go
ahead. Help me now.
Yeah, man. Yeah. What?
Lord, if thou hadst been here.
Come on.
Yeah, go ahead.
Come on now.
Yeah, man.
You hear me, friend? He's already there. That's why Paul the Apostle, man, it's a flooding me tonight. That's why Paul the Apostle said in the book of Ephesians that he already views us seated in heavenly places.
Yeah.
Friend, I'm as good for heaven as if I was already there. Because that's how I'm viewed in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's already there. God don't have late in His vocabulary, friend. How can you be late when you're always dwelling in the eternal present? That's why we say He is omnipresent. Amen. I about forgot where I was. I saw. I don't know where I was going with that, but we're going to go back to verse 1. Amen. I'm enjoying myself. I saw a new heaven. And a new earth. And that's that Greek word, eido. E-I-D-O. All right? E-I-D-O. Eido. It's first used in Matthew 2:2. I want to take you there. You don't have to turn there, but let me read it to you. Many times when I look up these Greek and Hebrew words, I want to see principle of first mention. Where was it first mentioned? All right, Matthew 2:2. Eido. John said, I saw. Now let me give you that definition before I give you that Matthew 2:2. I saw, eido. That means to turn your eyes upon. It means to give something your attention. Oh, friend. Oh, thank God I'm going to be glorified one of these days. I don't know what I shall be, but I know this. When I see Him, I'll be like Him. For I shall see Him as He is. So what I'm describing to you, you can't compare it to what you could be able to do now. It's going to take a glorified body to be able to do this. Amen. I saw. It doesn't just mean to turn your eyes upon, to look upon. It means, Brother Ponder, to understand. And I hope you get this. And to enjoy the fullness of what you're looking at. Soak that in just a minute. Let that trickle all the way back. Not just to look upon. Not just to turn your eyes upon. But to... Have you ever went some... I love to travel. I do. I love to go places. I love to take my boys and my wife. And I love for us to go and travel a little bit. And there's been times I love the water. I love being around water. Amen. Especially when they got bass in them. Amen. I love being around water. and I'll look over them pretty lakes. I've gotten to fish some pretty lakes. I'll look over them lakes or maybe one down there at the ocean, and I say, wow. I feel like I just can't fully take in what I'm looking at.
Come on.
Yeah. I've never been to the Grand Canyon. Maybe some of you have. I'd like to go. Listen, I've talked about we'd like to go to the Niagara Falls and see that. I'd like to see it, and ain't never seen it. Some of you may have. And I'm sure that when you looked at it, you said, I can't fully take in what I... Let me give you this as an example. You're country people like I am. Listen to this. It's like the two old boys that went down the ocean for the very first time. Both of them stood on the bank for 30 minutes. Neither one of them said a word to each other. And finally one said, boy, that sure is a lot of water. And the other one said, yeah, brother, and that's just the top of it. How many times have you put your eyes upon something and you could not fully take in what you were viewing? But there's coming a day. John said, I saw. And listen to me as I read those words of John, Preacher Bonder. I step my foot into John's shoe. And I say, John, one of these days that's going to be me. One of these days I'm going to be looking at what John saw. And I ain't just going to be looking at it. I'm going to be living it forevermore. And I'll understand in the fullness what I've got for all of eternity. Listen to this. Matthew 2:2. First time Ido is mentioned in the Scripture. It's the wise men. Listen to me. It's the wise men. And they said this. Here it is. For we have seen. There it is. There it is. Ido. For we have seen His star in the east and are come to worship Him. Oh, I've got to quote that again. For we have seen His star in the east and are come to worship Him. Oh, I want to say this about that night. The Bible said they followed that star from the east until it came over where the young child was. And when you think about a star, you think about its brilliance and its brightness. And I'm sure I'd like to have seen that star. You know, in our Christmas place, what do we put up over that manger? For we have seen His star. I like it that it's His star. He created them, ought to be. Amen. He created it. I said it ought to be. Amen. It's His star. Just like it's His church. Somebody help me. Amen. For we have seen His star. The brightness, the brilliance of that. Oh. But John saw something greater. John, those men, I want you to get this. I told you that if we put ourselves in John's position in Revelation 22:1, we are in a glorified body. Those wise men in Matthew 2 didn't look at that star with a glorified body. They looked at that star in the Adamic nature. They looked at that star in the flesh. Even though they saw the star, I hope you get with me, they couldn't enjoy the fullness of what they were looking at. Are you with me? For we have seen His star, the brightness. Oh, but go with me. I'm back to Revelation. Go back with me. Revelation 21. I believe I'm thinking about verse 23. Let me tell you what John saw. Let me tell you the brightness of what John saw. Let me tell you the brilliance of what John saw. And it did not buy more. I'm thinking. Before I read that, I'm thinking of something. I'm thinking of a discouraged Moses. Over there in Exodus 32, 33, and 34. Lord, I'm discouraged. I came down from the mountain after all those days and got the law, and your people was worshiping a golden calf. They had took the glory that should be going to you, and they were giving it unto an idol, an image, and he was very discouraged. And here's what he said, show me thy glory. And the Bible said God spoke to him and said, no man has seen me and lived, but there is a place by by me. And when I put thee in the cleft of the rock, I will pass by, and I'll put my hand over thee, and thou shalt see my hinder parts. Somebody give me a handkerchief. Somebody give me a handkerchief. Hey, hurry. Somebody give me a handkerchief. The Bible said when he came down from the mountain, he had to put a veil over his face because of the brightness of the glory of God. Thank God. You hear me? John is a looking at that new heaven and new earth, and he ain't wearing a veil, bless God. And he ain't looking at God's hinder parts. He's looking God eyeball to eyeball. He's looking God's creation eyeball to eyeball, because we'll have a glorified body to enjoy that.
Thank you, Lord.
What's the brightness of it, preacher? Don't you want to go? What's the brilliance of it, preacher? Is it Revelation 21:23? You're ahead of me. Are you there? Revelation 21:23. And the city had no need of the sun. Look at me, friend. Is the sun a star? Sure is. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. He said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. I got to skip ahead for sake of time. Go with me to verse 2, would you? Go with me to verse 2. I've got to give this to you. And I, John. Oh, hey, sometimes I look up every word in the verse just to see what the Lord is trying to tell me. If you'll get a hold of the meanings of those Greek and Hebrew words, it'll help you not misinterpret Scripture. It'll help you rightly divide the Word of truth. It'll help you know what to eat when you're reading a commentary and what to spit out. Amen. Do you know what John means? You ever wondered, why didn't he let Peter write this? And we'd all have our opinions. Why didn't he let James or Andrew? Why was it John? Some of you may say, because he was the one that was leaning on the bosom of God. Let me tell you about John's name. John's name, Ioannis. Ioannis is how you pronounce it in the Greek language. And it means this: Jehovah God is a gracious giver. Do you know that? John means Jehovah. You know who Jehovah God is? That's the only God. That's the self-existing God. That's the God. That's the God that says, I don't need nobody's help. I'm God. And besides me, there is none else. That's the God that don't need a schoolmaster. That's the God that's never learned anything, never forgot anything. He's the Ancient of Days. He's Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning. He's the end. Hallelujah. Jehovah is a gracious. Thank God. The wages of sin is death. But the gift. But the gift of God is eternal life. Was it Paul said to them Corinthians? Thanks be unto God for His. That's a great adjective. Paul, thank you, Paul. He wrote it by the Holy Ghost. He didn't write it on his own accord. He wrote it by the Holy Ghost. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Paul said, I tell you, I just can't explain that gift. I mean, I've been to the third heaven, Paul said, and I can't even put in words what I saw there with human words. Is that right? And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. Now I want to look at that phrase, coming down from God out of heaven. I'm just trying to follow the Lord, preacher. When the Lord pulls the brake, I'll sit down. I'll sit down when He pulls the brake. Coming down from God out to heaven. Coming down means to descend from God out of heaven. It is, I'll give you the Greek word. It's spelled this, K-A-T-A-B-I-N-O. Katabino. Katabino. Greek word, coming down. To descend from God out of heaven. Can I tell you the first time that word is used in Scripture? That coming down from God out of heaven is in Matthew 3, 16. Can I stop and say there's something about them 3:16s in the Bible?
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. Matthew 3:16. Where I am, I preacher in Matthew. I'm going to have to slow down. I'm about to hurt myself. Matthew, where are we at, preacher, in Matthew 3:16? Jordan River. Who comes to mind? John the Baptist.
Yeah.
And he's preaching. Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Art thou he, John? No. I baptize thee with water. But there come one after me whose shoe latches. I am not worthy unloose. He shall baptize thee with fire and with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Moment I believed on him, that's when he gave it to me. Amen. Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. Baptized by the Spirit into the body. Just like that. Coming down from God out of heaven. Matthew 3:16. You know the scripture. Jesus comes down into the water, and John has already said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin." Comes down into the water. John baptized me. And John, when he did, he said, "I saw the heavens open. And I saw the Spirit." Here it is. "I saw the Spirit of God," Matthew 3:16, "descending." Descending in Matthew 3:16, kata bino, coming down from God. I saw the Spirit descending like a dove, and it abode upon him. What a sight that John the Baptist must have saw. When he saw that, he knew that was he. That was the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. But can I say, what a sight that John the Revelator saw. When he saw the new Jerusalem, the holy city, coming down from God out of heaven. If you study on in this scripture on your own, you'll find that really from verse 9 and 10 through the end of the chapter, it is detailed description on what the holy city looks like. The foundations, the gates, the walls, the street. Oh, how beautiful. Even so pure that it is as transparent glass. What a beautiful place it is. Let's read on. "I saw the new city, the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband." Preacher, I'm going to preach this phrase and I am done. God's give me parking brake. I'm going to finish this and we're going to close. I could talk about this all night. Coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride. He said, when I saw the city, it was compared to a bride. Skip down with me for just a moment and we'll go right back up to verse 9 and verse 10. The angel that has the seven vials speaks to John in verse 9 of 21. "There came unto me one of the seven angels." You see where I am? Revelations 21:9, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, "and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God." When the city is mentioned, it's looked upon as the, it's kind of like this. It's looked upon as the bride. It's looked upon as this. I heard an old preacher say one time that he took a man to his church during the week. Nobody was there. Just walked in the building. They were there for a little while. And the visiting preacher looked around and said, "You sure do have a pretty church, preacher." And he said, "You ought to be here when it's full. You ought to be here when the people are here." You hear me? When you and I talk about the church, we don't talk about the building. We talk about the body. We talk about the believers. I'm a part of a body of believers for which Christ is the head. And old Larry Winkler said this past summer, he said, "I'll tell you something about that body." He said, "Don't worry about that body, because to kill the body, you'd have to drown the head." Guess who the head is? The head is Christ Jesus. The body is never going down, thank God. Because we're connected to the right hand. Amen. So when I saw the city, it was prepared as it was prepared. Now I want to end on that word right there. I like that word. That word prepared.
Come on.
That word It means, I want you to notice, see, I want to take my time right here, and I don't want you to lose me. It's got an ED on the end of it. It's got an ED on the end of it. There's other times, and this Greek word for prepared, it's spelled H-E-T-O-I-M-A-Z-O. He said, "Preach, what are you doing? I'm trying to have a spelling bee." No, I'm just trying to preach the way the Lord wants me to. Yeah. Somebody help. He told Mizo. He told me it means, now sometimes it don't always occur as prepared ED. When you look at something in an ED form, you think of, it's done. Yeah. Oh, hey, so much preaching. Look at verse 6. Do you hear what I just said?
Yeah.
I said, preacher, when we see ED on the end of something, it sounds like it's done.
Yeah.
You got a King James Bible. Verse 6 says, it is.
Amen. Yes, sir,
I guess I love my Bible. Amen. He told Mizo, prepared. But sometimes that word, he told Mizo, occurs as our word prepare without an ED. And you're very familiar with one of the places it occurs. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to a place for you. And if I go in a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. You hear me, friend? When Jesus came to this earth in the flesh, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness, that God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the Spirit. He was clothed, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as of the only begotten, full of grace and truth. Is that right? When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Y'all still with me? When He come and clothed Himself in the flesh and walked among us, heaven was already tainted with sin. Y'all listening? Devil had been there. Devil had been there. Fell from there. Is that right? And now it's the prince of the power of the air. It's what Paul tells us in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 2. Hang with me just a minute. I'll be done, all right? Earth was already tainted by sin. Is that right? Jesus walking among us. But He got them old fishermen around there one day, and them other boys, and He said, "Hey, boys, don't be troubled. I'm going away. And I'm going to prepare."
Come on.
I'm going to... Listen to me. Listen to me. At the beginning of the message, I've got to give you this. Listen. At the beginning of the message, I quoted Isaiah 65:17. "Behold, I create." That's a very important word, and it's a very strong word. That is a creation word in the Hebrew language. It's bara. B-A-R-A. I create. Bara. Do you know that bara occurs the first verse in your Bible? In the beginning, God
created.
Bara. When the Lord said in Isaiah 65:17, "I'm going to create a new heavens and a new earth." By the way, is it verse 5 when He said, "I make all things new"? Is that right? I make. That is creation talk, friend. That is almost the equivalent of Him stepping in the Old Testament and saying, "I'm creating." Are with me? I go to prepare a place for you. Now, prepare in John 14:2-3 doesn't have an ED on the end of it. It just says prepare. Is that right? It means to make the necessary preparations, to make everything ready. And then, as instantaneous as creation was in Genesis 1, remember what I said? Let there be, and there was. Did you know that in Genesis 1:3, Genesis 1:6, and Genesis 1:14, you'll find that phrase, "Let there be, and there was." Instantaneous. In Revelation 21:5, "I make all things new." Revelation 21:6, "It is done."
Hey. Amen.
I go to prepare you a place. Amen. Thank you, Lord. What a time that's going to be. Who's it for? The bride. The bride. Amen. When he said, I saw it coming down from God out of heaven, it was prepared. Ladies, this is what that means. When you got married, that means you all dolled up. Y'all didn't get that. You ladies, when you got married, see, it only took us 15 minutes to get the tux on, but a half hour to get the shoes on. Somebody say amen. 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 But for you all, it took all day. Is that right? To make the necessary preparations to where when he says it's coming down prepared, when he says it's coming down adorned, it's just like a bride wearing all the decorations. I mean the necklace and the earring. I mean she's not left out a thing. Amen. In that moment, in the ages of the ages, all is prepared. All things are made new. That's what the Scripture says. I wish I could preach more of it to you. All things are new. That just doesn't mean the new heaven, the new earth, the holy city, New Jerusalem. It means us as well. Did you know that all things, somebody help me. Is that verse 5 again, all things, I make all things? All things, that's the Greek word pas, P-A-S. Did you know that pas occurs in Romans 10 as the word whosoever? I love that word. I'm a whosoever.
Amen.
So all things new, that means the whosoevers are going to be new.
Yeah.
I'm not lying to you. Did you know that word pas, P-A-S, you can go to Romans 11:26 and it says that one day all Israel shall be saved. And do you know that all in Romans 11:26, speaking of Israel, is the same Greek word pas as John said in Revelation 21:6, all things. So here's what's going to be the whosoever's. Israel, she's going to be there. God's going to save her in a day. Blindness in part is happening. Don't you turn on Israel. Don't you become a Jew hater. She is God's peculiar treasure. Zechariah said one day she's going to see the one that she has pierced. And Isaiah said in Isaiah 66:8, a nation is born in a day. You love on Israel. She's that buried treasure in the field in Matthew 13. The church is that pearl. She's that buried treasure. A prepared place. But can I tell you something about this word new? I ain't told you about that yet, have I? I'm closing. All right. New heaven, new earth, holy city, New Jerusalem. All things new. That word new is kainos. Kainos. It means something fresh, something unprecedented, something unused. Let me tell you what God's going to give you in eternity. He ain't going to give you a hand-me-down. Anybody leave your life with hand-me-downs? I was the oldest sibling, but my younger sibling outgrew me very quickly. So I learned to wear hand-me-downs. Thank God, God ain't given us a hand-me-down. In the ages of the ages, He's creating something brand new. Listen to me, friend. Don't miss it.
Come on.
All this that we speak of, I know sometimes we say, preacher, surely it can't be that good. Friend, we haven't scratched the surface of how good it is. I'll quote this, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for them, but God has revealed it unto us by His Spirit. We've gotten a little taste of it. Can I put it this way? We've gotten a foretaste. We've gotten a foretaste of how good it is. Don't miss it. If you're here tonight and you're lost, as much as is going on in your world, all that filth that went on in Charlotte this week with a bathroom ordinance that says men can go in women's bathrooms. And now that sick city of Asheville that I live close to, bless God, I don't live in it. I live about an hour from it. They're wanting to do the same thing. You better get ready to meet God. You better not mess around with this. Listen to me, friend. She's true. Everything about it's true. But listen to me. Hell is just as real as this is. Preacher, you come. Thank you so much. As he's coming, let's bow our heads for prayer and thank the Lord. Heavenly Father, thank you for delivering in the message. Now we pray, God, that you'd take the precious Word of God. And Father, you know, God, that Christian that's here tonight, walking afar off, backslid on thee, not enjoying the fellowship that there is in the Christian walk. God, you know where that lost man is tonight. You know what pew he's sitting in, that lost lady, that lost boy or girl. God, help them, I pray, to come down to this old-fashioned altar. God, if you're drawing them in conviction, and help them to call out and say, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. God, have your will and way. Bless this dear pastor. Bless this church. Thank you for this evening together. And we pray this in Jesus' name.